You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program, Hour 1 on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Recap what happened last night in Boston and set the scene for tonight in Los Angeles with the Dodgers and the Cardinals. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp at danpatrick.com. A little bit more information on Urban Meyer. Also, some college football information that I'm sure you will be interested in. Have that for you coming up in a little bit as well. Email address, dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dp show. Say good morning. Good morning to our radio affiliates around the country, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio lineup, and our streaming partner, Peacock. Download the app, watch for free. Monday night's wild card, or Tuesday night's wild card game against the with the Yankees and Red Sox probably is not going to stand out. The long storied history of the rivalry. Yeah, there was no Bucky Dent, no bloody sock, no Dave Roberts steal, Aaron Boone home run, not even Pedro getting into it with Don Zimmer. Instead, we got to watch the Red Sox control early and take that win and now move on to face Tampa. Boston's pitcher Nathan Eovaldi was brilliant while the Yankees ace Gerrit Cole struggled. And the Yankees squandered some opportunities. It was an overall disappointing night. But we had become used to these two teams being the best in baseball. Now Boston advances to face the Rays, who were the best team in the American League all season long. I'm sure some fans have to be disappointed, but we only get to see one Red Sox-Yankees game. Boston beat New York fair and square, and this certainly won't be a highlight in the long history of this rivalry, but the Red Sox move on, and now they have a chance to make another championship run. The story is more about the Yankees, because the Yankees haven't been good enough to have people hate them. I mean, they've been good, but not great. And it used to be the Yankees, well, the evil empire. They're not evil. They're not an empire. They're just the Yankees. They're like, oh, okay, the Yankees. Used to be you would have a visceral reaction with, oh, the Yankees. You know, you feared them. You didn't like them. You respected them. Now, one World Series win in 17 years, one World Series appearance. I mean, for them, that's horrible. That's when you lose your job. Here is Aaron Boone talking about the tough night, starting with going out and pulling his starting pitcher.
How kind of surprised were you? I mean, you sent out your best tonight. You only got six outs out of him, and here you are having to make this huge move really, really early. And was it kind of a stunning blow to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, not easy, especially, you know, just how great a pitcher Garrett is and how much respect I have for him and how much I know he wants it and prepares for it and competes for it. You know, it's a difficult decision, but I felt like the one I needed to make.
Yeah, I give him credit. That's a tough decision to make. You don't want to embarrass your star pitcher that you spent $300 million on. But this is a one-game playoff, and he made the right move because the pitcher he brought in, you know, ended the inning there. And those decisions, is that a decision of a manager who is on shaky terms, shaky ground? I don't know. I wondered about that because I'm sure Gerrit Cole wanted to stay in. But, you know, you give up the home run starting out. You know, that was big. You know, Bogart's home run was like, whoa, okay. And then Stanton's home run that turned into a single. It just felt like things were aligning for the Red Sox last night. And Nathan Eovaldi pitched well. And the Red Sox move on. But with the Yankees, they're just the Yankees now. And this rivalry is just a rivalry. It's a brand. You know, it was nice to see Bucky Dent last night. You know, they trotted out all the highlights and, you know, the vitriol, the hatred here. But it wasn't there, not in the game itself. But Red Sox move on. Now they've got Tampa coming up. McLovin, what's the poll question we're going to go with?
Which would ultimately be more disappointing to their fan bases, the Yankees losing last night or if the Dodgers lost tonight to the Cardinals?
The Dodgers just won the World Series.
Right. Are they okay?
I don't know. Like, Vegas still has the Dodgers as the favorite to win the World Series, and they're in a one-game playoff against the Cardinals. I mean, that tells you a lot. But I don't want to speak for the fan bases. If I'm a Yankee fan, I think you probably went in going, hey, let's at least beat the Red Sox. the Yankees weren't better than Tampa. Tampa gets no attention because Tampa gets no attention in Tampa, let alone, you know, the national media. The Yankees and the Red Sox get attention because that sells. It's like when the Cowboys aren't good. They get attention because they're the Cowboys. Steelers not playing well, they get attention. They're the Steelers. Packers lose week one, they get a lot of attention because you have a brand. Notre Dame, when Notre Dame doesn't do well, a lot of attention. When they do well, a lot of attention. It's a brand. Duke basketball. I mean, this is the way it works in this world. Yes, Eaton.
Dude, Tampa's title town right now. Are you kidding? Sports have never been hotter there.
I know, but they don't really celebrate the Rays that way.
Not yet.
No, well.
Not yet.
It's a good team. It's well run, but they don't have any stars, you know, national stars. And this is the typical, nobody's watched any baseball, and then they're going to watch Tampa and go, man, Tampa's good. That's what's going to happen. That happens. It does. It's like, man, Tampa's got some good guys, you know, young players, you know. Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
I wonder if the Rays would be better to have free admission and put 35,000 in the ballpark. I wonder if anyone's ever done the math that I think they get 8,000 a game.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they make a couple bucks off that. But if you had just complete free admission, open seating, first come, first serve at Rays games, would you make more money off parking and concessions and other sales than you would having 8,000?
I've been saying that for years.
Yeah.
That I don't understand. I grew up in an era when they gave out tickets for straight A students. You got straight A's, you want to set it to 12 and under, and you want to reward them, then great. And then you just let them go to the game for free, and then you make your money. You make your money on concessions and parking, souvenirs. Get them into experience a game. We've all done that. Everybody's experienced a game, that first one you went to. And I hope that some of these teams that struggle at the box office are able to go, hey, come on in. This section is for you. And let them get that first game. Because once you get the first game, it feels like it's different for you when you watch a game. And I think the Cincinnati Reds still do that. But I didn't get straight A tickets, but I did have friends who got straight A's. And then I would be able to go and watch the Padres in center field. And even though they weren't great seats, I was in the game and I was watching the Padres who weren't good. But I was still... I got to see the Cincinnati Reds. Yeah, Seton.
Yeah, you just looked over at the straight A section and like tossed your popcorn at them.
No. I got to. Yeah. They got straight A's. I said, F you. Yeah, Paul.
You're in the straight C section. You know, you aspire for more. Give me some tickets. I'll do better than this.
Yeah, that's section N for nerd. Yeah. Sorry, you go there.
We got some spooky new Halloween t-shirts available. DanPatrick.com, including Fritzy's all-time Halloween name t-shirt.
Scary.
It's very scary. The Dan Patrick Show, danpatrick.com. Those are available.
R.I.P. Hamilton.
Oh, no. is that one of the names?
Rip Hamilton may be on there, yes.
Boo
yes.
Weekly. I could do these off the top of my head.
Casper.
Oh, God.
Does John Candelaria fit on a t-shirt?
Yeah.
No, but Candy Maldonado does.
Go to danpatrick.com. Todd's got his t-shirts up there. Simply Safe has big news. They just launched their new wireless outdoor security camera engineered with all the advanced technology and security to help keep you and your family safe. Learn more. Get 20% off your new system. Visit simplysafedan.com. What else do you have, McLevin?
Okay, if the Yankees are out, who is the team to watch that everyone can focus on? Who's the biggest national draw? The Dodgers, the Red Sox, maybe the Astros. Are the three teams that jumped out to me. Is there any other team that has like sort of a nationwide appeal? The other teams, the Giants, the Brewers, the Braves, the White Sox.
No.
Maybe the Cardinals because of their history if they advance tonight?
No. And this is nothing personal. This is just, it's Dodgers and Astros. That's it.
Red Sox.
No, Dodgers and the Astros. Now, the Red Sox aren't good enough to be on that platform where you go, man, you got to fear the Red Sox. This isn't Big Poppy. This isn't Schilling. This isn't Manny. This isn't any of that. I mean, the Red Sox overachieved this year. The Giants certainly overachieved this year. Great stories. Giants, you know, unbelievable story. But this comes down to who moves the needle. Are you going to watch a game and you don't have any rooting interest? You'll watch the Astros, I believe, And certainly if they're playing against the Dodgers. Dodgers have star power. It's Los Angeles, celebrities coming out. I mean, this is what happens when you're a TV executive. How do we make this an experience? How do we make this bigger than what it is? Well, the Astros, you do a report, you look back on what happened. The players are still there. Maybe they sit down. Maybe they talk about it. Maybe you have a reporter and Kenny Rosenthal said, and the Astros refuse comment on this. Whatever it is, the Dodgers, you know, is Clayton Kershaw going to be able to play? He's not going to have Tommy John surgery. Max Muncy, no serious structural damage to his injury. Like, you know, you still have some things there, but I think it only comes down to the Astros and the Dodgers, and then you would get a national audience tuning into that. Yeah, Paul.
It's a weird dynamic because if you're still angry with the Astros for the cheating scandal, you want them to bow out in a painful fashion. But you want them to get to the World Series so they face the Dodgers and bow out to the Dodgers, not early.
Yeah, the Yankees, to me, you know, I watched last night. I'm like, okay. Like, am I interested in Aaron Judge? Yeah, but I don't look at him and go, well, that's why I hate the Yankees. Or Giancarlo Stanton, I don't care. Brett Gardner, like, they don't roll over teams like they used to. Garrett Cole, I was curious. This is why you paid him all that money. Come in. Let's see what you can do. He didn't last three innings. But the Red Sox, there's nobody where you go, you know, I fear that guy, or boy, they're the team to beat, or unbelievable story. It's just like, okay, they're the Red Sox. Yeah, Mike Love.
One thing they do have, Fenway is pretty cool. Will that give a little juice to them? That was kind of fun to watch. You know, they have that new angle from underneath the bleachers.
Yeah, but it's been around since 1912.
I mean, yeah, it's still
not like somebody's going, oh my God, did you see that left field?
And also too, that now the guy hitting the monster last night, there's still that fun. It is probably the most fun stadium. Is that your favorite stadium?
Not to sit in. Horrible.
They made it nicer. The seats are way nicer.
Well, I remember going there and it feels like you're shoulder to shoulder with somebody. Paulie and I were touching shoulders.
Oh, it was 96 degrees.
I know.
You and I love the buffer seat.
We were sticking to each other.
Oh.
And but I will say there is no better sight than going into Fenway and you come out of, not that you get to go into the dugout and come up those steps, but when you come out and up and you look at that green monster, it just feels like, God, this would be a great wiffle ball park. Like you just want to hit one off the monster and you feel like you can. It's still one of those magical moments when you see that in person. It never fails. But as far as, I mean, they've added a lot to Fenway, but I remember, gosh, 20 years ago sitting there and I'm going, these are the seats that somebody in 1912 sat in, and it certainly feels that way. They're a lot smaller back then. Yes, Todd.
You really got to do your homework when you're buying the seats, because some of them, you got a big green post right in your face. And there's certain outfield seats where the seats aren't angled towards home plate.
Yeah.
You could be sitting and you're just looking straight into right field and your neck is going to be all the way to the right
to
watch each pitch.
That is true. Yes, Eden.
Yeah, there's seats where I got tickets to go to Red Sox Yankees a few years back and I took some of my buddies with me. And I was like, oh, we're like right in that lower area, like the lower bowl area, yeah. You know, yeah. And we got to our seats and where we sat, the overhang from up top cut off everything. So you couldn't see, you could only see home, the pitcher's mound, first base and right field. Anything else was completely out of view. That being said, it's still the best stadium in baseball by far.
I love Camden Yards. I love the area. I love what they did. There's something about going to Dodger Stadium, just the backdrop. Those uniforms are whiter in person than you think. Like, I don't know how they get those uniforms that white, but it just, there's something, it's sparkling. Yeah, Paul.
I think it's a good call. I think Dodger Stadium's underrated. The first time I went there, I don't think I realized what the backdrop would look like with those brown and green hills back there. And then, like, The jumbotrons.
I think those are called mountains.
Yeah, well, the little ones. There's like those little ones right behind the stadium and then the mountains behind. But you're right. It's just drastically sunny.
Yep, it is. Dodger Stadium's great. I'm trying to think if there's another one that stands out. Because a lot of them, I like when there's, you know, when you go to Fenway and you can stay downtown, you can walk to the ballpark. There's just something about that. Instead of driving, you know, you're waiting, you park, you got to walk, you know, quarter mile. Just walking to a ball game is just, it's wonderful. Be able to do that. I'm sure I'm leaving out a stadium that I've gone to. Yeah, McLovin.
How bad were the multi-use stadiums from back in the 70s?
They all looked the same. From above, it looked like a giant ashtray.
And how the fields were like in Philly, it was concrete, basically.
Yes, yes.
Painted concrete.
Riverfront was the first, and then Philly, Pittsburgh, the Cardinals. They all just looked the same. If you looked at from above, looking down, you'd go, I think that's Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, I will say, that stadium downtown, you can walk across the bridge. And it's got great views, great vista. Yes,
yeah, I've always wanted to go to a game there.
Yeah,
just because of the way it presents itself on TV, it looks spectacular.
Yep, it is. Yeah, Paul.
I'm still going to call it Candlestick because I can't keep up with the name. But the Giants ballpark with the water behind it,
yep,
and the
right.
neighborhood is really easy to eat and drink locally. Yep. I think it's called a Pac Bell Oracle, whatever it's called this week.
Yes, you're right. That's they did a great job with that. What's the other one that I'm missing here? That you can walk to the ballpark? Because you said San Francisco, and there was one other one.
Well, San Diego is now downtown stadium.
Yeah.
They did a good job there.
I wish the ballpark would have been facing the water. Like, there would have been something to take in with the water there.
They're showing off the city, kind of like the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. John Smoltz, the Hall of Famer, will join us. Is Aaron Boone dead man walking, I guess, to put it bluntly? Because bottom line is, making the playoffs isn't good enough in New York. And you got one World Series appearance in 17 years. We'll talk to him about that. And also, he'll handicap Dodgers-Cardinals coming up. We'll get to your phone calls, settle on a poll question. It's 18 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. It's amazing. Discover has done it. They matched all the cash back on your credit card that you earn at the end of your first year. And they do that automatically. And there's no limit on how much you can earn that first year. It's pretty amazing. In fact, even more amazing because you're going to use that Discover credit card. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing that word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes, 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations do apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. By the way, some Dodger fans speaking up privately to me, Fritzy. You're an Astros fan, and you have a Dodger jersey on.
I knew that was coming. I like the uniform, and they're playing tonight. And it's not about being fan or not a fan of another team.
The Dodgers do not want to be associated with you. You should take off the Dodger jersey.
I don't have anything under it, though.
Oh,
I do not. You don't want to see that. That's worse than wearing being a faux Dodger fan.
Paulie, would you go get a sweatshirt for Fritzy? Because he's going to jinx the Dodgers, and I'm going to hear about this tomorrow. And I don't want to do that. John Smoltz joining us. John, part of the Fox Sports 1 broadcast. Red Sox Rays for Game 1 and Game 2. That starts tomorrow night, followed by MLB Network's exclusive broadcast of Game 3 on Sunday at 4 Eastern. We were just talking about stadiums, John. If I said best stadium to pitch in, what would you say?
Today, best stadium. I mean, the old Astro Stadium just doesn't get any better than that. I mean, throw fastballs 95%, see if they can hit it out of the stadium. There's not many of those anymore unless Wrigley's blowing in. So I would say if the wind's blowing in, Wrigley. But in the stadiums today, I mean, Dodger Stadium's pretty fair. You know, I'm not – this marine layer thing that's been talked about, whether it's gone or there, the ball travels – doesn't travel at night, travels during the day. But Dodger Stadium's a pretty fair place to pitch when the thick marine air is at night.
What's the worst stadium to pitch in?
Oh, my goodness. There's more of those than there's ever been. It's like, you know, Camden Yards is a great place to hit. Small American Ballpark in Cincinnati. I call it Small American Ballpark because it's very tiny. The Central seems to be one of the worst places to pitch when it comes to the teams. And of course, Colorado's not fun at all when you think about a visitor in Colorado. Great place to watch a game, not a great place to pitch if you're a pitcher.
What about San Francisco? That feels like it. There's parts of it that's a good pitcher's ballpark.
Yeah, the new stadium's fantastic as far as the weather. You know, the weather at Old Candlestick could have been you start at 70 and you finish at 40, it seemed like, when the layer would come in over that. I don't know who thought putting a stadium right behind that rock was a good idea, but I'm a fan of the new stadium in San Francisco. Very fair. If you hit it down the lines, you can go. So they've maximized what I thought was the impossible in the fact that they hit so many home runs. I didn't think that was part of I mean, this has been the most amazing year of storylines, of predictions that you never thought would happen. They're leading the case for the most unpredictable success story.
How's it happen?
I'd like to say this is not a formula for success long-term. Year to year, they have made every right decision. They've had every right player in the right spot, give their organization, managerial, all their strategy. I don't know that that can continue year to year. You can't keep plugging in those kind of things. But I will say this. They're older guys which I'm a fan of because, you know, analytics says you're old, so you can't play at 30. They've had a little chip on their shoulder. They've been healthy, and they have delivered big time. So that has been a kind of like an organization filled with players that you see there longer than most, and it's paying off. They've won a few championships. This year, I'll be the first to tell you, I got on, you know, beginning of the year, no chance. They weren't even in the discussion. And that's why I said it's the most remarkable year I can ever remember from a team that maybe should have won 75 to 80 games, won 106 or 7. That to me is a great credit to their organization.
Are you all on board with the playoff format, the one-game playoffs?
No, I never have been. I can say that consistently. I understand why it was put in place. Ironically, it was probably put in place because of the 1993 Giants and Braves race to the pennant, and we won it on the last day, and the Giants had 103 wins and didn't make the playoffs. There comes the one game playoff to try to secure a team like that situation. Now, fast forward this year, if both these teams end up not moving on, you're going to see a change, I believe, in the playoff format, because it's hard to imagine that you would have a 105 win team, which easily could lose to the St. Louis Cardinals, not move on, and our whole season is based on the, you know, most wins. I think if anything, Dan, I would tweak, if they don't want to make a wholesale change, I would tweak a scenario where you have tonight, the Cardinals should have to beat the Dodgers twice, right? I mean, the Dodgers won 100 and some games. The Cardinals did a great job down the stretch, but the team with the best record in the wild card should at least have an advantage to where they only have to win once. And the second team has to win twice. Personally, I'd like to see playoffs always have a 2 out of 3. No matter what scenario you set out, it needs to be a series. You need to have a fighting chance. And I think we need to start rewarding the teams who have the best record, give them a bye, so that when they play a team that's already played 2 out of 3, there's your incentive for the team that's won all those games. Otherwise, you know, it is a little bit more random.
Let me look at last night's game. Aaron Boone takes out Gerrit Cole. And I don't know if you run the risk of embarrassing your pitcher, your $300 million pitcher, in a situation like that. I mean, I applaud Aaron Boone for doing it because I think it was the right call. But, man, that's difficult for a guy who's probably got his job on the line, and you're going out there and taking the ball from your starting pitcher. What did you think of that move at the time?
Well, let's just say Gerrit Cole, the last three outings haven't been Gerrit Cole. And I know he had the hamstring injury, and there's probably something to do with that, because when Gerrit Cole doesn't look like Gerrit Cole, you throw everything out the window, because it's that one game scenario that you needed a great performance. And it just didn't look like he was on his top of his game. You don't have the time and luxury as a manager to factor in all that. So I thought it was a really good move to just at least give them. And it worked out because he got out of an impossible situation. Holmes did a great job. So those one-game playoffs are another reason why I don't like it. They're manager killers. You basically don't have the luxury of a lot of things because the panic and stress on that game doesn't leave you any room for error.
And the Yankees aren't good enough to hate anymore, right? One World Series in 17 years.
That's a good point because, you know, the stress on the Dodgers and the Yankees was the highest it's ever been. The Dodgers won the World Series last year. They hadn't won in 30-some years. Those are two iconic organizations. There's so much pressure on the Yankees right now and certainly that organization for what they built. But you're right. This year just was a roller coaster year. They've been through everything. Their offense was hot and cold. And I think that's not a good formula for a deep run. I mean, they're certainly going to be right back there next year and could be the favorites. Who knows what the offseason brings. But this year was the streakiest, most unpredictable baseball season I've ever seen. You're talking about teams losing records on the road. And then you're talking about home teams, teams that have won games over 10 in a row multiple times. So it's a crazy year. It's one of those that I think a lot of people were waiting to see after the COVID year of the short season, how it was going to play out.
He's John Smoltz, the Hall of Famer, and he'll be part of Fox Sports 1's broadcast, Red Sox at the Rays, Game 1, and also Game 2. That starts tomorrow night. I look at the Dodgers situation where you've been great all year long, but then you run into one of the hottest teams that we've seen in recent memory. How do you handicap this game with these two?
Well, the beautiful thing for both teams, they have the pitcher they want on the mound. Sometimes you get into these games, you don't have the luxury. The Dodgers were almost forced to play that. It would have been interesting to see how the Dodgers played the one-game playoff to determine a division championship had they been in that spot. So I think there's some relief in that regard where they can put everything towards this one game. But it's a high stress and kind of flip of the coin. Adam Wainwright, the veteran, of course, my former teammate, both pitchers know how to pitch in big moments, so that won't be unnerving. It's going to come down to who can, kind of like last night's game, who can score first and create pressure on the manager.
I couldn't help but notice, and maybe there's nothing to it, when Kershaw was pulled from his last start, he kept the ball. He walked off the mound with the ball. I know he doesn't need Tommy John surgery. He's been through an awful lot. Do you think there was anything to that Kershaw kept the ball when he walked off the field?
You know, until you mentioned it, probably wouldn't have thought twice about it. But having the kind of career he's had and where he's at in his career, I know this year there was a lot of talk possibly of could he be headed for Tommy John. You know, you're talking about Kershaw and Verlander, two I consider surefire Hall of Famers that have some life left in their game and probably don't need anything more to get there. But I know Verlander coming back from Tommy John as an older guy, he wants to win a lot more games, and I would think Kershaw is similar. But winning the World Series maybe takes a lot less stress off of him from having to prove to people so many much more. But it's a great question. I didn't even think about it because you don't ever take a ball off the mound as the season ends.
Yeah, you don't. Like, you have to hand it to the manager when he comes out. That's part of the ceremony there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing to follow. I'm sure the Dodgers are monitoring that very closely.
Yeah, and he's going to miss the postseason because he's got that forearm elbow injury. Like, I don't know exactly what that is. It more elbow than forearm, John?
You know, typically in a pitcher, the opposites work. The top of the arm is going to be you concerning here. If it's the bottom side, you're not as concerned. But forearm's never a great issue to have unless it truly is not connected to the elbow, which is hard to imagine that they wouldn't. A lot of forearm injuries usually turn into what people talk about as a precursor to Tommy John, but not necessarily in his case. It could be something different.
Before you go, introduce America again to the Tampa Bay Rays.
I just don't get it. Like, I really am in awe of what they've been able to do. I will spend all day Thursday getting introduced to the Tampa Bay Rays because I'll be doing a deep dive into their rotation, which is almost brand new. Their bullpen is as interchangeable parts. Their offense seems to just slug. Wander Franco is the real deal because when everyone was wanting him up in the beginning of the year and they delayed his clock for obvious reasons, but they're going to start two rookies that you rarely see from a team that almost won the World Series that left two of their stud starters to go somewhere else. The Rays are an amazing organization that, quite frankly, a lot of people stop trying to figure out, and they just go with it. And when they push a button, you know it might be the right button. Of course, last year, the button that was pushed in game six filled their formula of while they went about their business. But a lot of people, you know, would wonder what would have happened if they left in Blake Snell. They don't even think about it. They turn the page because they are on a quest to prove everybody wrong.
Always great to catch up with you, John. Have fun with the Red Sox and the Rays. Thank you, bud.
Looking forward to it. Thanks.
That's John Smoltz, Hall of Famer, MLB Network analyst, MLB on Fox analyst. Yeah, we're going to get reintroduced to the Rays again. Feels like it's, you know, a rite of fall where you go, hey, let's look at the Rays and how much they don't spend. I think they are 26th in spending.
That's right. They're 26 out of 30 teams, $70 million. They, the Dodgers spend $200 million more this season than the Rays have.
Mm. This program is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond for their customization options. Cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go that extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. We've got some football to talk about. Two players have been released, one from the Patriots, one from the Cowboys, that making headlines. And we'll hear from Urban Meyer on his situation. That'll be coming up. And our play of the day next. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
They're going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Here's a smash to left, high and deep, and this one is off the top of the wall, just missing a home run. Judge into third. He's being waved around. Bogaerts relayed to the plate, and he is out! What a mistake by Phil Nevin, who's done that before in this ballpark.
That's courtesy of the Red Sox radio network. Guess which team led the majors in outfield assists this year? The Red Sox did with 43. That's your play of the day, brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. Upgrade to that Dollar Shave Club six-blade razor. Noticeably smooth shave thanks to these six precision-cut stainless steel blades. Find your perfect shave at Dollar Shave Club in stores. Dollar Shave Club in stores. Ask for it. All right, a couple of surprising moves, or at least it felt like that. The Patriots have released the former Defensive Player of the Year, Stephon Gilmore. And the Cowboys have released Jalen Smith, who was their defensive captain as late as last game. And I think Jalen Smith, it's still, they have to pay him a little over $7 million this year. But there was a guarantee if he got hurt in 2022 that he'd get around $9 million. I think because they have depth at the linebacking position now that he was available. A lot more depth than I thought. This guy was the captain. He was the Cowboys' defensive captain last week. Yes, McLovin.
I think they switched schemes with the new coordinator, too. And I don't understand this at all, but he's not a good fit for Dan Quinn's 4-3 or whatever.
Okay.
You know how linebackers have different styles? I have no idea.
Stephon Gilmore has been released. He was a holdout. He, I think, was getting paid $14 million and then wanted more. And so he's now available. I was surprised you couldn't trade these guys. But also, Stephon Gilmore, it feels like Tom Brady is on the phone to him now or has probably already been to say, hey, if they don't want you, come on down here. I think that He could slip right into the backfield, you know, just like Richard Sherman did. Yeah, Seton.
There are some reports that the Patriots have been trying to trade Gilmore this whole time, but there just weren't any, couldn't get a deal done.
Well, I guess you got to factor in that salary, and maybe that's the reason why. But what's he going to get paid now if he goes to another team? How much can that team spend on him? Yeah, McLovin.
You know who really needs these guys? Kansas City Chiefs. I watched them on Sunday. Their defense is toothless. Wouldn't he be great with it?
Yeah. Yeah. Kansas City, that's not a good defense. I mean, it's not. Yeah, you're going to have those moments, as I say all the time. There's going to be a moment where your defense has to do something. In Kansas City, you just wonder, do they have playmakers who can make something happen when they're going to need to? I know you got to outscore everybody. You got to put up at least, I mean, the pressure on the Chiefs offense is you got to put up at least 30 points every single game. And that's not a guarantee you're going to win. And that's a lot of pressure for Mahomes and company. Yeah, Paulie.
It seems like the Packers have been searching for defensive backs for about 15 years and never get set at that position. For Gilmore, competitive team, I don't know. It's all capper, Mike.
But you got to be able to pay him. We have the free agent game. Paulie has an NFL game. Give me the rules here.
Okay, this is a game called Chiefs, Bucks, Other.
Mm.
I think we have custom music for this thing.
Okay. Okay, that's new.
Jalen Smith is no longer a Cowboy. Within the next 3 days, he will be a Chief, a Buck, or Other.
I'm going to go Other.
Other.
Other. I'm going to go Other.
All right, this game is going kind of quick.
Yeah.
Stephon Gilmore, former Defensive Player of the Year, defensive back.
Okay.
Chief, Buck, Other.
I don't know how much these teams have to spend.
That's not one of the answers.
Okay, all right, I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm going to go Chiefs.
That is the Chief, Buck, or Other game.
Yeah.
Back to you, Dan.
That's it.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Very quick game. I don't know if this is going to catch on.
It's kind of a niche.
Yeah.
I need players to get cut.
Let's see. Willie in Alabama. Hi, Willie. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Love your show. Suck it back row.
All right.
I have a question for you. Do you think that Urban Meyer is dead man walking? And if so, can he get a reprieve?
Do I think he's dead man walking? I don't know. It certainly feels like that now. It doesn't feel like that owner is going to go, let's cut him loose now. You got two home games coming up. You know, if you're able to get a win against Tennessee and or Miami, that certainly helps. I was wondering, is it a good thing they have a home game or a bad thing that they have a home game? And Urban Meyer has sort of changed the narrative here. He was on his radio show. And he does this every week. Can you imagine going into that radio show last night? Imagine the host. What can I ask? Do I press him? Is there follow-up questions here? Urban Meyer said it's basically on the players right now.
Sorry, still got music playing.
Yeah?
Hold on a sec.
Urban, with this distraction, trying to get the team refocused on a game in Tennessee, the players are going to get questions throughout the week, I'm sure. How do you attempt to kind of focus away from the distraction to get a team ready to play a football game?
I don't believe that's in my court. We're going to do the best, but you know this, Jeff, as well as anyone, that the leaders on our team are going to make that decision. It depends how much trust you have built up with them, how we structure everything this week and focus on winning that game. I'm going to be as extremely clear as I can. Our staff is working their tails off. The ownership of this team is with the players.
Okay. He's got to take ownership of this. You can't say now it's up to the players. It's still his situation. He created this. I don't think you can put this onto players because then you can blame the players. Like, well, you know, the players didn't react. You know, they're supposed to take ownership of this. You know, it's about them going out on the football field. It is. But they have a tough enough job going out in the football field where they're going to be an underdog in every game this year. Now you've added this, and that's not fair to the players. You just say, look, this is on me, and I have to do my job, prepare them, make sure they go out there, and we win these football games. It's not on the players to do something with what Urban created. It's on the players to go out and take the game plan out there and perform. Not, hey, by the way, with the game plan and make sure you beat the Titans and stop Derrick Henry and then you'll beat the Dolphins. Can you take this baggage out there too? That's not fair. It's not fair to them. But I will say it feels like it's open season on Urban Meyer because you can't hide behind a national championship. At Florida, he was winning. He was impenetrable. Ohio State, same thing. Wins, championships, playing for championships, you're good. Nobody's going after you in Gainesville or Columbus. They're not. Now, this is the NFL. Even though it's Jacksonville, a smaller market, it feels like it's open season on Urban Meyer. This happens. All it takes is one item, and then you got people ready to pounce. Look at Tiger Woods, impenetrable. He was winning. He's the greatest. And then that Thanksgiving night. And then after that, I saw sources close to me tell me everybody had the green light. Urban Meyer, it's the green light on Urban Meyer right now. If you have a video, you have a police report with Tiger. You had pictures. You had, did she try to go after him with a 7-iron? He didn't have any shoes. He ran out of the house, hit a fire hydrant. Now, all of a sudden, it's open season. Then it's somebody else going to come in. Everybody, all the secrets in the past, they're greenlit. And it feels like that with Urban Meyer. But he put himself in this situation. Now, I know that there were people and players who said, well, you got to go home with your team. It's a Thursday night game. He went from Cincinnati to Columbus. And he has his restaurant there. It's weird. It's rare when a coach doesn't, accompany his team. I think just the fact that they played in Ohio, 2-hour drive up to Columbus, he got to see family, grandkids. It's just that doesn't hold water when you realize that he's out at a bar and what happened at the bar. But it's open season here. Yeah, McClubbin.
You commented on this yesterday, but how important is it to win one of these next two?
I think his career is hanging in the balance here. I do. Because if they lose the next two, when's their bye week? I just don't see him.
I think right after that.
Yeah. I just don't see him surviving. And I had a source who told me, Urban has certainly taken himself out of the discussion at USC. Even though he wasn't going to get that job, he's not in that discussion. Not now. I got some other college football news that has to do with the college football playoff format. Also, LSU football, the future of Arch Manning. Got some information for you coming up.
Hot.
And I think Ben Simmons just woke up and went, wait, I'm losing how much money? Chris Mannix will join us coming up hour two right after this. Oh, but wait, there's one more item. We close out hour one. Panini, the official trading card partners of the Dan Patrick Show. Gotta love what they do. There's nobody who does it better than Panini. You have the hottest rookies, biggest superstars, all-time greats. There's only one place to collect them all, Panini trading cards. Exclusive trading card partner of the NFL. Panini America utilizes iconic brands. They got Donruss, Prism, Contenders, National Treasures, and more to deliver instant classic trading cards. And these are some of the most popular players. You got Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and so many more. Autograph cards, memorabilia cards, rare inserts, hottest rookie cards, something for everyone in Panini America packs. And as we get ready for the primetime matchups in week 5, Matthew Stafford and the Rams, they charge into Seattle. The Bills invade Arrowhead. It's a marquee matchup with those two quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson Monday night against the Colts. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net. The official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show.